B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
From beautiful Ron Jaworski's beautiful Downingtown Country Club, we're having ourselves a great time, and yes, we are marveling at the views. This is the home of the Mike Missanelli Open today, folks. We will be golfing as a foursome.
Yes, yes we will. And we will be playing a scramble style.
That's, you should have fun with that. Scramble amongst yourselves. This is a great event, and it is benefiting the American Association for Cancer Research. The AACR is the world's first and largest cancer research organization, bringing together the greatest minds in cancer research to cure and prevent cancer. Mike Missanelli Open is presented by Corona Premier. Not too shabby.
Yeah,
gentlemen.
Rodney McLeod does a lot of work with that foundation, so it's a great foundation. Everybody can unify against cancer.
Absolutely. No question about it. We've all been affected by it in one way or another. 610-632-0975. So last night, we had a very frustrating Phillies loss at the hands of the Milwaukee Brewers.
You get frustrated by Little League mistakes?
Well, I was thinking about this yesterday.
Weird that you would get triggered by that.
Well, yesterday, Jamie, I'm the guy that was saying, it's hard to get upset about a loss in May.
Until you see something so stupid that your little nephews could pull off in Little League.
Or Bryce Harper's on pace for 212 strikeouts and it makes you go, oh, come on, it's only May, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to get upset.
First place.
Exactly. They're 3 games up in first place. They have a lineup that is producing runs. They have Rhys Hoskins, who's having himself a great year. They're doing a fine job.
Mean Gene Segura.
That's all. What more do you need than Mean Gene, right?
Love that guy.
So they're doing a heck of a job, right? It's hard to get upset about. But when you see Little League play, T-ball plays being made in the field like Sean Rodriguez yesterday, it makes you want to slam your head against the wall.
Absolutely.
That's the thing that will get everybody's, turn red when it comes to an early season loss. And it's a frustrating, stupid loss like that.
I think it made Jake Arrieta want to slam his head against the wall as well.
I'm surprised he didn't say more after the game.
I'm shocked by it. Maybe he learned from his Kingery calling to the carpet last year mistake, if you want to call it that.
He definitely did not. Because
I don't think he did.
He's good for one call out a year.
He's good for one call out a year.
He's good for one thing. Growing a hell of a beard. It's a hell of a beard. But in all seriousness, he's good for one call out a year, I feel like. Because after he did it in the...
His timing wasn't good this year. He could have waited a little bit longer this year.
Yeah, week 3 of the season?
Yeah, that seemed a little early.
Back it off a bit, bro.
I didn't like what Gabe said after the game, that it was a confusing play.
Yeah, we'll let you hear the play-by-play from NBC Sports Philadelphia. And we'll also let you hear from Gabe Kapler. It was an egregious play last night. But one of the big things that came out of yesterday was this story with the Eagles and their vice president of player personnel, Joe Douglas. He could be headed away from the organization and to the New York Jets because of his relationship with Adam Gase, and they just fired their general manager. Adam Gase right now is acting as the interim general manager of the New York Jets. The two of them have a relationship from their days in Chicago, which was brief for Joe Douglas. I mean, he was with Baltimore for about 14 or 15 years, and then he went over to Chicago for a year before he came to Philadelphia. So apparently the Eagles blocked him, as we know from last year. They blocked him from interviewing from a GM job with the Houston Texans last year. So then this year, his name is on a very short list when it comes to people that could go up to New York to work with Adam Gase as the long-term general manager with the New York Jets.
Yeah, there was a rumor that he might go down to Miami even with Gase back originally.
Oh, okay.
So they've been tied at the hip together in the rumor mill for a while now.
And it's a weird situation to go into in New York right now because McCagnan, who was their general manager, is a guy that spent a lot of money this offseason, hired Adam Gase, walked everybody through the draft with the Jets, right? And then got fired.
Sometimes you have to see other teams' ineptitudes to really feel good about your team. And I view that as, what the hell are the Jets doing? You give the guy the job to tank, get your franchise quarterback cornerstone in place, have the number 3 overall pick in the draft, go spend stupid money, as John Middleton would say, on Le'Veon Bell and in free agency, and then fire him like 3 weeks later? Like, you just gave him the keys to the castle and then fire him after his decisions were made?
It's fun when somebody else is the idiot.
Yeah.
And that's what the Jets look like.
And
right now.
I looked at it and I went, oh, it's really nice to have Howie and some stability in our front office.
And then just unload everything on Adam Gase.
Yeah.
As I said before, what?
Yeah. Right.
Like, who the hell is he to be just the head of an operation all of a sudden?
So now you look at it like this. that the Jets. Okay, sucks to be you. Mm-hmm. Interesting. But here's what could suck to be us.
Yeah, their dysfunction is going to bite us.
Their ineptitude, as you called it, their incompetence is now going to affect how the Eagles do business in a front office that won a Super Bowl a year ago.
Yeah. Zach Berman, who's going to join us at 9 o'clock today, has a tweet out now. He says, Jeffrey Lurie in March. At some point, you're going to lose executives. When you're winning, you're going to lose executives. I think we're in a great position to be able to deal with that. And then he said, you know, they promoted Andy Weidel, Joe Douglas's number two, to director of player personnel last May. And they hired Andrew Berry as VP of football operations in February. Zach says, you're going to hear a lot of Berry's name more and more in the coming months. Organization viewed him as a major addition.
Okay.
So the plan, Howie has seen this coming.
So here's my suggestion. All right. Get it. Howie, reach into Jeffrey Lurie's big old wallet, right? Pull out a wad of cash, right? Mm-hmm. Throw it in Joe Douglas's face and say, congratulations. Poof, you're now the GM, too.
I got no problem with that at all.
Money and GM title. The Eagles right now do not have a general manager. They're one of, I believe, maybe eight teams in the NFL that don't have a quote-unquote GM, right?
It's strange, isn't it?
It seems odd. But then again, like, the Patriots don't have a GM. Bill Belichick just says, I'm in charge. Deal with it.
They have Bill Belichick. Right? I got it.
But then, like, other organizations, I think the Browns are, the Bengals are one of them. Like, they don't have a
GM. You certainly don't want to model anything after the Bengals.
You certainly don't. There's a bunch of
the Browns since last year.
Well, they seem to be on the right track.
Yeah. A bunch of the teams throughout the NFL don't have GMs, right? They have presidents of player operation or VPs or whatever, football operations. The Eagles are one of those teams. So give the title to Joe Douglas.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would do it in a heartbeat. I'd do it today.
Oh, look at you. Boom!
I'm not
do
kidding.
It. Like, let the English see you do it.
Great reference.
Thank you.
Great reference. Okay. 610-632.
It's a movie reference, Bob.
Yeah. Braveheart. 610-632.
Saw a movie last night.
You've seen Braveheart, right?
You did see a movie.
I watched a movie last
night. Wait, you've seen Braveheart, right?
No. Oh, I've seen parts of it. I never. Stop. Why is that always the reaction with movies?
Ah, jeez, like, Bob.
What?
A proud Irishman such as yourself.
Oh, jeez. I'll get it some
The Irish have a big
role. Watching sports. I'll sit around and watch movies. All right?
Yes, Bob. The Irish have a prominent role in the movie.
William Wallace? Come on, man.
Sorry.
Anyway, we'll get your movie review.
No, you
did watch
it.
No. Oh, we will.
No,
we need it. No, with later, not right now, but later, because you watched the movie, The Train, I've been talking about. It's a phenomenal picture. And you watched it, and I am shocked, Bob. I'm shocked that you actually watched this movie.
Took an hour and 50 minutes out of my life last night just for you.
Look at me with spite because I recommended a movie.
Just for you.
Let's get to Mikey in Collegeville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, man. First time calling in. I love the show.
Thanks, Mikey. Thanks, Mike. Welcome aboard, man. Good to have you.
Thank you, man. So I'm a transplant from New York. I'm a Jets fan. I just heard you guys talking about Joe Douglas. I don't see how in what world he would want to leave the Eagles organization to come to my organization, which after a promising offseason, I mean, we finally put ourselves in a position to do well, brought some guys in, let the tech spend all his money, and then we prove again that we're the worst organization on the face of the earth. I mean,
what is going on, in all honesty, in New York, what are they putting in the water of the executive offices of your NFL franchises? Like, you look at how the Giants are run, like Odell Beckham Jr., all the money in the world, and then they decide to move on from him and trade. Like, it's bonkers to me. And then obviously everything that took place with the Jets. But to answer your question, Mikey, if I'm Joe Douglas, then what I want to do is go to an organization where I can help rebuild it a little bit, and I can take all the credit in the world for it. I already won a Super Bowl here in Philadelphia. You're not going to do more than what you've already done in Philadelphia. Move on somewhere else. You might have more control, and you could actually really run the show without having to answer to Howie Roseman.
I agree
that, that's
that,
why he would do it.
Jets. Unless it's coming to the Jets. So you're going to a different organization. I mean, it is frightening what they're doing. And you're right with the Giants, because the Giants did everything right for years, and now out of nowhere, I don't know what's going on there either. So,
Mikey, thanks for the call, man. Good to have you.
Take
it easy. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we're going to continue the party, but we're going to take the party to South Philadelphia.
Ooh,
there's a little party going on last night. Now, look, NHL playoffs, right? NHL Stanley Cup final. NHL
World Conference
final.
Now, right?
That's what it seems like, right?
Yeah, why would we not? This is awesome.
Chief, Craig Berube, Scotty Upshaw.
Yeah.
But
Joe's New Year's Eve brigade?
Jack. So like, we're going to be joined by a guy named Dean, who hangs out with these fellas, right? He's a mummers group, that are embracing the Stanley Cup playoffs in a way that is just shocking, especially in the city of Philadelphia.
It's awesome.
It's a great story. We'll hear from Dean coming up in a minute. We'll continue the conversation about Joe Douglas, and we'll continue the conversation regarding the Phillies and everything that took place last night. We'll let you hear the play-by-play is called by Tom McCarthy and Ben Davis in the booth last night at Citizens Bank Park. Time at the Fanatic is 8:12.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning from beautiful Ron Jaworski's Downingtown Country Club. This place is spectacular.
It ain't
we open the
fun. Always can't have none.
Oh, we gonna have fun today.
It's gonna be a blast. I can't wait.
Yeah. Just so you know, if I play terrible,
great time.
You know what my favorite part of the day is?
What's
the
that?
Mike Miss inaugural shot, because the whole tournament gets around him, so the pressure is high. And he's, you know, there's a lot of pressure on that first shot.
I bet
and
you,
the whole tournament's watching.
I bet you Mike 250 down the middle.
Yeah, he looks prepared.
1 foot in the pressure cooker.
Right. He's hitting into the net up there right now.
Oh, get ready, huh?
He better get ready.
Yeah, all right.
Because 2 years ago.
Oh, he took an iron out to hit off the tee.
It was two or three years ago. I think it's the par three over here to our left. And he shanked one like into the woods, and
hit the bar.
And our old boss laughed at him.
That's terrible.
Yeah. It's a high stakes situation.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Hit that again.
Come on. Wow.
That was them laughing at his drive.
Yeah.
I'm stiff.
Oh my God. What the hell's wrong with people?
It's a high. Hey, man. I don't know how these PGA guys do it. All the people standing around them.
It's
outrageous.
Listen, I need everybody to move.
Yeah, I don't want to see anybody.
Yeah.
We have to wish a happy belated birthday. Mike McMonagle celebrated his birthday yesterday.
Mike. All right.
Man, Mike.
Birthday. All right. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
And he's got a Mike Maselli open hat on.
He's running things around
their
here.
Hats? Yeah.
Running the show.
We were looking for our shirts, Mike. Do we get golf shirts like all the other participants? Okay, all right.
Mike
all
right. knows a guy.
I want to represent. I want to represent today. Plus, Mike, I forgot a golf shirt.
Mike McMonagle, happy birthday to you. So listen to this. There was a little party last night in South Philadelphia. For the St. Louis Blues, which is weird because they're not the Flyers. So here to tell us the story, this has been national news. It's been all over the place.
It's a very cool story.
A group of mummers, essentially, are welcoming in and championing the cause of the St. Louis Blues with Craig Berube as the head coach. But I don't believe it's because of that. To win the Stanley Cup this year, as they're trying to take care of business out there in the Western Conference. So we'll see how that plays out. But on the line with us right now is actually a buddy of mine, a guy I know from South Philadelphia. Dean Crescetto is on with us right now to help tell us this story. Like I said, that's made national news. Dean, welcome in, buddy. How you doing?
What's up, Mark? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Now, it's you and Eddie Renzi hanging out?
Yeah, Eddie Renzi is actually the originator of the Glorious. He's the one who brought it to the top, to be honest with you.
So the St. Louis Blues have taken that in as their song now, but what's the backstory here, Dean? Tell us the story. How did a group of South Philly mummers become St. Louis Blues fans?
All right, so a buddy of the club, Larry Flowers, comes by and he knows a couple of Blues guys. He works for the NHL, so they brought him over to the club. And the Eagles played the Bears today, and they came over. And we just started partying, and we were kind of breaking the stones with Let's Go Flyers and all that stuff like that. And all of a sudden, like during the commercial, our DJ, Matt, just started playing Gloria. So that was our song for New Year's parade. And he just kind of fell in love with it,
So the Blues players that were there took that song over and started playing it in their own arena, and the next thing you know, they win 11 games in a row, from what I understand?
Yeah, well, they were like the worst-placed team in the NHL, and then they won 11 in a row, and the goalie actually started his first game against the Flyers the next night.
It was a shutout, wasn't it?
It was, 3-0.
Yeah.
So you guys were there partying last night, right, for game one?
Yeah, it was a bad loss, bad non-call, but It's only 2-1. We're all right.
I like how we're all Blues fans.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys are obviously still Flyers fans, first and foremost, though, right?
Oh, of course you are. Yeah, absolutely.
And then now the Blues, you've taken up this cause.
Well, I mean, it kind of just fell in our lap. Like, we were just there watching the Eagles game, and they came in, and they took a liking to us. We took a liking to them. So, respect. It kind of just fell that way. I mean, it wasn't meant to be. So now, like, yeah, we're riding for the Blues, and it is what it is right now.
That's awesome.
They weren't looking for love. It just kind of fell in their lap.
You know, you play Gloria, you're hanging out, you don't know what's going to happen.
Things happen.
Beers are flowing. No. Speaking of beers flowing, Dean, how big of a party was it last night?
Last night was pretty big. It wasn't the biggest one yet. Game 7 to Dallas was very big. Wow. Friday should be a big one, and I invited you over there. I hope you come over.
I'll be there. Dean, I'm going to tell you right now, live on the air, I'm going to be down there hanging out with you and your members friend. Is this Jack's Brigade? What group is this?
Yeah, Jack's. We're 3 years in the making. We actually won last year. So that's
nice, congrats.
So we played Gloria as our winning theme, and then that's why we were playing it for the halftime show of the Eagles, whatever it was. And they loved it, the Blues, and they took it around with it.
That is awesome. Dean, yeah, I will be there. I'm going to bring a camera crew with me from NBC. We're going to talk to you guys. We're going to get to you more of the backstory from you and the rest of the guys. And you know what? Maybe when those cameras turn off and I'm off the clock, maybe a beer or two.
Well, I'm with Eddie right now. And actually, Eddie Renzi is the guy who actually started Gloria himself. He's the one who picked the song. So if you want to talk to him for a minute.
Yeah, let me talk to Eddie real quick.
He's right here.
Hey, all right, cool. Yo, Eddie, what's going on? But first off, this is incredible. Like, every sports fan dreams of actually being able to have a couple of beers. Not only have a couple of beers, a couple of drinks, a couple of cheesesteaks, but also be the inspiration for a team to go on a run like you guys are with the Blues.
Right. You know what it is? That song, Corey, it turns the switch. It makes us go nuts on a Friday night or whatever the case may be. And you know what it is? The Blues guys, they were dead last place, and they were looking. I feel like they were looking for a song to turn their season around.
There we go.
You know what? We hit it with Gloria, and look what happened.
You know what? This is what happened, Eddie. I'm convinced. You know what they did? They caught the underdog fever from Philadelphia and the Eagles and all that stuff.
And the only prescription is Gloria?
The only prescription is more Gloria. I need more Gloria.
That's what they did.
That is great, man. Eddie, hey, look, I don't know if Dean told you, I'm going to be down there Friday. I'm going to hang out with you guys. We're going to do some interviews, and we're going to have ourselves a good time and watch some good hockey.
You got it, Mark. Listen, we're both away. I got your speakerphone. I'll let you meet the co-captain, the captains of the club and all, and we'll have a good time down there.
Dino, great talking to you again, man. I'll see you guys and Eddie down there Friday night, tomorrow night.
Mark, I'll talk to you, buddy. Thank you.
My man, thanks. I appreciate it.
Dino.
How about that?
You went Dino.
Yeah, I went Dino. What's the deal?
Diener.
He's got a fedora with him. He can say Dino.
Are you going to golf with that on?
I always golf with a fedora on, Bob. I'm a bald man, and a baseball cap gives me the ring around my head.
That's the question.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying.
But the real question is, did you bring anger. Cigars?
I brought a cigar, and I will buy another one here.
They have cigars out there also.
Yeah. Oh, do they?
For the ready, yes.
Fantastic. For the ready?
For the ready.
Well, then.
Yeah.
Are they handled?
This red carpet treatment. Mike Missinelli open.
Hand roll stuff out there.
Are you guys marveling at the fairway over there? The sprinklers are out. Look at those sprinklers.
Yeah, the views are beautiful. Now, speaking of views, we do have to revisit our photo that's been tweeted out there. Sam, if you could pull up some of those hot comments, that'd be great. Also, we need an update on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. But the other part of this is that everyone's out here. People are showing up. They're putting the bags on the back of the carts and all that stuff. And we're going to get to go out here, play this scramble tournament for the Mike Missinelli Open for a great cause, obviously, when you look at all the things that the American Association for Cancer Research can help with. It's going to be a great time. A lot of people are already here. Tea time, did we confirm 10 o'clock?
Yes, 10 o'clock.
This is going to be absolutely incredible. I'm looking forward to this.
We're going to have a blast.
We have yet to play golf together as a... look at us. Four of us right here for the show. Perfect for golf.
Somebody always doesn't show up. That's right.
Well, somebody works two jobs. And, you know, it doesn't make time for us, but that's okay.
True. I was about to go there.
Yeah. You know, it'd be nice if you made
I was going to give him
made
a
little time for us.
You know? Yeah, I know.
We have feelings, too.
Well, like, we'll be on a tee box. We'll be like, Mark, you're... Oh, never mind. He's working.
Oh, wow.
Oh, there, he's on TV.
You're up, Mark. Oh, never mind. There he is. There's our host.
All right. There we go.
Mike, were you warming up? There we go. See, I'm telling you, 250 down the center.
Okay.
250 down the center.
Pressure cooker. Par three.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, is that where it's going?
He got it.
It
guaranteed water ball.
Oh, there we go. No, why you gotta wish that on
I'm
him?
Putting the bad juju in his head. Water ball, water ball.
That's just wrong.
Don't you maloik Mike Mussinelli in his own open. You show some damn respect, son.
What do you think
he is? A 9-year-old girl writing letters to Joel Embiid? You want to doubt that too, you monster? You freak? Good God.
You know how we about feel about those kids.
You are just full of bad karma today.
I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. How about that? You know?
You figure you get one day out over the last month and you'd be happy, but no.
Trey just randomly said hello to our intern. It's good to have you.
Intern. He calls him intern, too.
His name is Harold.
Well, he actually usually calls him...
I don't know his name.
Yeah, blank intern. Yeah. Get over here, blank intern.
Yes, so here we go.
So we didn't go around the horn on this yet. We did it earlier in the show, but we have to revisit. So Joe Douglas, if he goes to the New York Jets, how much of a hit is that to the Eagles front office? Because I think that's one thing that Howie was always criticized for. He didn't know how to draft. He didn't know how to scout college players and all that stuff. Joe Douglas has come in here and I think done a very good job as far as the draft has gone. And then you also look at free agency, you look at trade.
I hate that Howie knock, too. They both drive me nuts.
Well,
Joe Douglas can't draft. Howie Roseman can't draft. Yet they won a Super Bowl 2 years ago with half of their contributing starters as drafted players.
Yeah, but together.
They both can draft.
But they did it together.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and we're taking a hit.
Yeah,
but I hate that narrative that either can't draft.
And Alshon Jeffrey came here?
Yeah, by that standard, the entire league can't draft because nobody bats 1,000.
Jernigan was impossible. Great defensive tackle the year they won the Super Bowl.
All their moves clicked the Super Bowl year.
I think it's a big hit they take in the front office. Trey, what say you?
I don't know. I think it's going to be next man up. You know, I think that they have someone that they've been working on, and it's going to be next man up.
Okay, Bob, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a dent, not knowing anything, more than we know from the outside. But, I mean, that was a tandem that, if you go with those two, that won you a Super Bowl and played instrumental parts in doing it. Is it going to hurt a little bit? Sure, but like Trey said, if we're going to say Howie Roseman's one of the best executives in the league, and we have said that over the last couple of years, well, then if you're underneath of him, you're learning from the best, so you should be ready to step in.
Do you know the Eagles have, I believe when the season ended, they were like roughly $22-23 million over the cap? Do you now know that they're like $21 million under the cap?
I forget what the stipulation, but it'll be $21.6 million under the cap. There's one thing that has to happen. I forget what it is. One thing that has to happen, but
think about that.
That's incredible.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he retained most of the guys he wanted to retain.
He made the team better.
Yeah. I'm stunned by it.
It's amazing.
So Joe and Andy Weidel, who are likely, rumored to go to the Jets, I mean, that is a hit. You know, they're taking what they learned from Howie and bringing it to another team.
Yeah, I think that's one thing you could definitely say that a guy like Joe Douglas learned from Howie.
Because not everybody works the cap like Howie does.
No, I mean, Ozzie Newsom's just an incredible judge of talent.
Yes.
Ozzie Newsom's an incredible judge of talent. I think that's what he helped Joe Douglas learn and develop.
Howie is an incredible capologist that's pretty good at evaluating talent.
That
Fletcher Cox fella, he's probably going to be in Canton one day.
Yes,
absolutely.
So that's pretty good. Carson Wentz looks like he's going to be, if he's healthy,
right?
Canton bound.
If he continues to progress.
Yeah, sure. If he plays at that level he did when he was fully healthy, those are pretty good cornerstones of a team.
Here's what I'll say. People that didn't win the MVP, let's just say he would have finished the 2017 season in MVP, right?
Yeah.
Like, if any MVP that plays that way every year is Canton bound.
I
would agree with that. But
so he can draft.
But when it comes to Joe Douglas, right, and Trey, we got into this talking about the hierarchy of the Eagles, right? Mm-hmm. And you told us something interesting about Jeffrey Lurie and Christina Lurie
in terms
of trying to understand all the inner workings of people working below them.
Yeah, they understand what's going on. Like the Lurie's, they are very in tune to who's being drafted, what they bring to the table, the skill set that these particular players have. They're watching film just like the coaches are. They're not blind or just walking in there like, all right, just pay whoever it is. They are very aware.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Let's just hit that one more time.
Uh-huh.
The Lurie's.
Yes.
From your own experience, like in front of you, you've seen this happen. They were watching film?
No, not watching film, but I've talked to, to them before. She's like, yeah, I've been watching film on these guys, and they know.
Christina Lurie would watch film on the draft picks.
Yeah.
What about Jeffrey?
Oh, yeah. Of course. If she's watching, you know he's watching.
Just making sure. He's been at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
He's been on scouting trips. I remember 2 years ago, it was, yeah, I'm here and I want to have a bigger role in everything.
Trey,
yeah.
Has Jeffrey Lurie or Christina ever looked at you and been like, I don't like this guy. He's got heavy feet.
No. We haven't had that type of conversation. But
this guy's got slow hands.
That Andre Dillard, he's got the heavy hands.
Yeah. No, we don't have that conversation. But they are very aware of what's going on. They aren't just silent owners.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want that. Look, one thing I try to say I don't like is when an owner won't leave it up to the football people. Because you look at a guy like Dan Snyder, right? You look down what's going on in Washington, and I feel like he meddles way too much, right? And that's look what's happened in that organization.
Or even out in Dallas.
Yeah.
Didn't Jerry Jones play where did he play? Alabama? Yeah,
Arkansas. I think he played, if I'm not mistaken, with Tommy Lee Jones?
Yes.
Oh, I thought he also played with...
Tommy Lee Jones was...
Did he play with Switzer also?
Maybe it was Switzer and Tommy Lee Jones and Al Gore were teammates. Razorback knowledge being thrown around.
They were roommates, I think, at Yale. Tommy Lee Jones and that Al Gore fella, who I wrote a letter to, and it was real, and my parents didn't tell me to do it either, you jerk. But anyway, things come full circle.
That's
pretty fascinating thing of thinking of the Lurie's. And I assume if you're running a billion-dollar company, you would want to kind of have an idea of the people you're going to bring in.
Absolutely. I would think so.
Just a thought. Sam, real quick, go ahead. Can you give us a couple? First of all, give us an update. What do you have for us? The update of the Twitter poll or the comments of our photo?
I have both.
You have both?
Yes.
Okay, well, hold on.
Because I'm a professional.
Hold on 1 second. Yeah, let's get Mike Misnelli. It is his open.
Well, hello, here early. It's good to see y'all. Good to see y'all here early at the golf course.
We're ecstatic.
Nothing
man.
Better.
This is beautiful.
Look at the weather. Look at the weather. It's going to be nice.
It rained about 3 different times, and now it's just crystal clear skies. It's beautiful.
It's going to be 70 degrees today for the people. So, all sold out. 144 golfers. It's going to be nice. And you guys are all playing at the
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait. I love downtown.
All right, so there's the first hole. That's not the first hole.
It's the 12. Right?
You win the Mercedes Benz there. The hole 12. Over water, 175.
My only problem is I drove
fade.
Here.
Got a little fade, Jamie.
How do I get both cars home? You know, I got to call somebody in.
Yeah, well, I don't think your car's worth anything. Just leaving here for a couple of vagrants.
Ron, don't worry about the car.
Yeah, you'll take a Mercedes home.
Yeah.
But that's a challenging shot. And the pressure's on, see, man. Listen, I'm at the foul line. I got to make two to tie it with 1 second.
Yeah,
left.
I said that in the
ceremonial
shot.
First shot. Last year I hooked it way left into the trees. Okay. So, the pressure's on, man.
This is incredible. So, we have the Mercedes over there. What else we got going on throughout the course today?
We got beer.
Closest to the pin contest.
We got cigars. Yeah, we got close to the pin contest. We got all kinds of door prizes at the end and great auction items. So, it's really going to be fun and good food.
Corona, obviously, big sponsor today.
Yes, Corona's the corporate sponsor today. Set up the tent. So the Corona be all over the course.
Perfect, because I'm looking for some low-calorie beer.
You need low-calorie beer.
Yeah, exactly. I got the dad bod already in prime.
About 10 today.
Right? I'm in prime dad bod shape, so I got to save on the beer. So I'll go Corona Premier today.
You go, absolutely. Yeah. You'll be light on your feet. Thanks for coming out, guys, and hanging out with us.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for having us, Mike. And it's all for a great cause, obviously, the American Association for Cancer Research. It's going to be great. We're going to be drinking beers, hitting golf balls off for a wonderful, wonderful cause. 610-632-0975. But go ahead, Sam. Go ahead and give us an update on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation.
This morning we asked, would you be concerned if Joe Douglas left the Eagles? We have just under 1,800 votes so far. 62% said yes, they will be concerned.
Stayed around there pretty much all day
long. Our buddy E-Rock tweeted in, and he said what he'll miss about Joe Douglas is the connections he has around the league.
Oh,
and
yes.
we touched on it earlier. But, you know, knowing the Ravens as well as he does, knowing the Bears as well as he does, how he's got a pipeline with the Dolphins going on.
And Minnesota.
Yeah, and Minnesota. Spielman out there. So, you know, those connections around the league are valuable, valuable things
they
in the front office.
They absolutely are. Let's get Lewis and Pensock, and you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lewis, real quick, are you? Do you have any concern if the Eagles lose Joe Douglas in the front office?
No. Actually, I got a lot of faith in Howie. For some reason, he's really turned it around, and I think he does a great job. So, no, I really don't.
All right.
I think the ship keeps sailing, to be honest with you.
Good enough for me, Lewis. What's on your mind today, buddy?
Yeah, listen. Real quick, about the Sixers, I was just thinking, if you really look at it, we could talk about Ben Simmons' jump shot and you know, he's coming back or whatever, but it really starts with Embiid and really him being able and being healthy enough to be the best player in every series. Until that happens, we're not going to a championship. He has to be the best player in every series. So when we play, you know, against Kawhi, he should be the one that's, the, you know, the better player. Against Giannis, he has to be the better player. And he can be. There's no question about it, no doubt in my mind, that if he's healthy and he's fit, he can be the best player in every series up until a championship run. I have no doubt about that.
No, Lewis, we agree with you. We're thinking the same thing, and we hope that this was a turning point for him to experience this defeat, and he seems to be agonizing over it, and hopefully it is a big turning point for him.
A lot of times, that's where the growth really comes from. You know what I mean? The true motivation is when people think that that Michael Jordan went to the championship the first year.
Right.
He got bounced in the first round. Yep. For a couple of years, and then he couldn't get past the second round.
Historically, everybody has these learning curves.
Everybody, it's just ridiculous how people think that, you know, it's microwave society. No. Yeah. Tomorrow.
Magic Johnson is the exception to the rule because he joined what, 3 to 4 Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but here's the thing, real quick. Jimmy Butler's not coming back here. If you think he's coming back here, you're sadly mistaken.
Uh-oh. Oh, really? Okay, Lewis, tell us.
He's got inside information.
Yeah, you have a source? What's going on?
No, I mean, everybody in the league, Rondo, there's people that, you know, around the league, they said that he's not coming back. There's a girl that did a podcast with them, I forget her name, and they asked her, they said, well, you think that Jimmy's going to the Sixers? She said no. She said he wants to be happy. That's his main concern.
No, I saw that. Yeah, I saw it. I heard that, Lewis. Thanks for the call, man. And that does, when I hear a guy like Rondo say it, maybe he's got some inside information there. Maybe he's talked to Jimmy Butler. That does give you some concern. You just hope it's not true.
I can confirm that Rondo and Jimmy Butler are, in fact, like friends. Away from the court, because my cousin works with one of Rondo's good buddies.
Did he go on?
Your family's all over the place today.
Yeah. Did he go on vacation to Spain like he did with Mark Wahlberg with Rondo?
I don't think so. But they are friends. So it's not like when Rajon Rondo says something like that, I don't think it's one NBA player that doesn't know the other guy just saying things.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
That was an informed statement he made.
Yeah, I don't think he's just throwing it against the wall here. I do have to tell you, the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Coming up, top of the hour, we're going to talk to Zach Berman from the Philadelphia Inquirer about the impact of Joe Douglas potentially leaving the Eagles. And in case you missed it, some frustrations last night in the Phillies game with how they lost to the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll get to that and more coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Ron Jaworski's beautiful Downingtown Country Club, home of the Mike Missanelli Open, benefiting the AACR, the American Association for Cancer Research. We're going to get into some Philly stuff, but you know what? We're going to put that on hold because the great Sal Palantonio is here. Sal, good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
It is. It's beautiful. I've never been to this golf course before. It is spectacular.
Listen, Jaws and his family do a great job with all their golf courses, and this is the primo one. I love it.
This is incredible. Absolutely incredible. I've played a bunch of his courses before. I haven't been up here yet. I can't wait to tee off and get played. Not just because it's golf.
It's the Mike Missanelli Open.
Exactly.
That's right.
We got Corona Premier hanging out with us. We got everybody here. We're having ourselves a great time. Now, we got some controversy going on here, Sal, and it's unfortunate because I really like Joe Douglas, and I don't want Joe Douglas to go anywhere. But it appears the New York Jets are knocking on that door right now. And it's not just me that likes him. Jeffrey Lurie talked about him a couple of months back now about the value of Joe Douglas. Here is Jeffrey Lurie, Eagles owner and film breaker downer with Trey Thomas. We have Jeffrey Lurie speaking good things of Joe Douglas. From March. That happened. I promise
it
you.
It did. We do have the audio.
We have the audio somewhere.
I swear.
That happened. But anyway, Sal. The computer froze, unfortunately. So Pat Egan has that for us right now. Pat, go ahead.
Joe does a terrific job, and I think, you know, we've been fortunate enough to attract a lot of really good people in the whole scouting and the analytics area. It's what I've always wanted, and I think we have a great team. We brought in Andrew Berry recently, terrific, young executive, and Andy Weidel. We've got a slew, and we also at some point are going to lose executives. When you're winning, you're going to lose executives, and I think we're in a great position to be able to deal with that.
So, Sal, I mean, right out of the gate, do you think it's likely that Joe Douglas will
Why would you want to go to the Jets? Exactly. That's my question.
Thank
you. You're here with one of the Tiffany franchises, mm-hmm. the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're just, you know, still fresh off that Super Bowl win in Super Bowl 52. I don't know why you would want to go up to the New York Jets. I mean, that right now is a mess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one owner's over as an ambassador to England. The other owner is clueless about what's going on in his own front office, saying that he wasn't going to fire Mike Maccagnan when the rumors came out. And I just don't understand why you would want to do it. I get it. There's only one of 32 jobs. But I don't know if that's the job you want. And that's a job that's been turned down in the past by other pretty high-profile guys at other teams.
So how concerned as an Eagles fan should people be, if Joe Douglas does leave? Or how concerned the likelihood of him leaving?
Well, Joe Douglas has had a really, I think, important influence on Howie Roseman. You know, not the other way around. I think, you know, Howie Roseman has learned a lot about player personnel acquisition and about scouting players from Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas came from the Baltimore Ravens organization, learned from the best of the best of the best. We're talking about Ozzie Newsome, who's in the Hall of Fame. And that organization does a great job of year in, year out replenishing their roster and has. So the Baltimore Ravens and Joe Douglas have, I think, taught Howie Roseman about how to do certain things. Howie Roseman, executive of the year, I get it. Is he executive of the year without Joe Douglas? I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to try to keep Joe Douglas if they can, but it's going to be tough unless they give him the title and the promotion that I think he deserves.
So when it comes to Joe, when he came in here, he obviously had a lot of experience under the great Ozzie Newsome, got his own experience when he was in Chicago, he was courted by the Texans, but the Eagles stepped in supposedly to put a stop to that. If you do want to leave, the only reason that you would want to leave is for more power, right? More credit for running something that's your own, not necessarily Howie Roseman and being the GM.
I know where you're going with this.
But would he get that?
With Adam Gase?
Yes.
There. And I don't think the answer is yes. I don't. That's why I suggested right off the bat. You know, the question is, why would you want to go to the Jets? Mm-hmm. Now, you asked me the question, Mark, and it's a great question. Should Eagles fans be concerned? No.
Okay.
I don't think that they should. Mm. I think that they have, as Jeffrey Lurie mentioned, I think that they have an analytics apparatus in place where they're in a very good spot, I think, in terms of, one, player evaluation, two, player evaluation meshed with what the coach wants. You know, I cover all 32 teams, as you know. Mm. As Trey knows, I've been around a long time. and this team right now is in as good a place as any team in the National Football League, not because of Roseman, not because of Lurie, but because of Doug Peterson. You know, Doug Peterson and his ability to listen to guys like John Ferrari, to guys who, you know, do his analytics and have in the past Paganetti and the two Paganetti brothers and Ferrari, they do a great job of breaking down the tendencies in the National Football League and how Doug should call a game, how Doug should handle fourth down, how Doug should handle the challenge flag, how Doug should handle different players as they come through the system. I think has really been, in my view, their analytics team is the cream of the crop. Other than the New England Patriots, I think the Eagles are number one in the NFC.
Wow.
Now, as if you don't know his voice already, of course, we're speaking with the great Sal Palantonio. And Sal, would you think, because the Eagles are one of several teams in the NFL who don't have a quote-unquote general manager, do you think Joe Douglas will be the next GM, quote-unquote, of the Eagles as maybe a way to make sure he stays here in Philadelphia?
Well, I think it's important to make sure that he stays. But I don't think it's much of a hard sell. Mm. You know, if I'm Lurie and Roseman and Peterson, I say, listen, here's what we got for you, okay? We got the greatest fan base in the NFL. We got a great stadium. We got a Super Bowl winning coach. and we got Carson Wentz and the future of the franchise at quarterback, and we're pretty set where we are. We're in great shape. So I don't know why you would want to leave. I think it's an easy sell.
To move away from the Joe Douglas topic, the other hot topic of the offseason is the fact that Doug Peterson won't talk about the health of Carson Wentz, saying it's still work in progress, whatever. He's kind of giving us the gamesmanship that he gave us last year when it came to the knee injury. Should there be any concern, forget about Joe Douglas, but regarding Carson Wentz and him being ready for even training camp?
Well, I mean, come on. Mark, you said, should there be any concern? Of course.
Okay.
I mean, obviously.
Good. That is justified. That is justified. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, how serious is the concern? You know, I don't think anybody knows.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.